Good morning, New Covenant, or whenever you might be listening to this teaching. As always, it's my honor and privilege to be able to share with you. My name is Jeff Trask, and I am a new granddad. Before I get into teaching, I just want to share that. But don't call me granddad, just call me G. I'm not ready to be called anything with a grand in it just yet. Part of the problem with that is seeing my grandparents look like grandparents when I was growing up. You know, my granddad was already retired, and all I saw him do is sit in the den watching TV or playing his piano. It's like, that's not me yet. And I'm not even sure what makes me feel older, if it's between me being a granddad or my mom being a great-grandma. And she'll just be 69 next month. You know, but it's been a couple of weeks now, and it still feels surreal, but it's an amazing feeling to have a grandbaby in this world. Her name is Amaya Josephine, and mother and baby are doing well. Matter of fact, I just came back from my second trip from seeing and being with them. And I tell you, if babies are a blessing, then grandbabies are grand blessings. So with that said, I want to talk about what our topic is for today, which is titled, Where is the Fire? Today's lectionary refers to fire in multiple passages, and I just want to kind of touch on the symbolism that the Bible has about this idea of fire. Now, let's talk about fire in general. You know, it's perhaps one of the most impactful elements in our universe, right? It's no wonder why scriptures refer to it in various ways from Genesis all the way to Revelation, something that people of those times could obviously relate to. And while fire has some of the most destructive attributes known to humankind, it also has some of the most transformative properties as well. Fire reforms and brings new life. I just read a story about how there are vast stretches of land thought to have been just naturally occurring, but was actually brought about by Native Americans through controlled burning of fields and forests. You know, so while people go traveling, they see all these different landscapes and they think, oh, nature is so, you know, amazing how it's formed and shaped. Well, some of that across this country is actually was intentional by Native Americans. And what they were doing is that the fires revitalized the land, it promoted wildlife, it eliminated unnecessary or harmful plant life, it fertilized the ground for crops, and had a host of other benefits. But before any of that could happen, and to bring forth new life, death must come first. And if you know anything about fire, it's considered one of the most painful ways to die. And what comes out of that painful death, however, is new life. In Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 53, Jesus talks about him bringing this fire to earth. And the passage says, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. And this is an emphasis, exclamation point here. Do you think that I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. I think Jesus is making it pretty clear that this fire that he brings is not going to be an easy process. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be trying, and it will cause strife and division among people. And just kind of touching on that first part of what Jesus says, where he says, I came to bring fire to the earth. And what scriptural biblical scholars say is that fire is obviously referring to the Holy Spirit. And obviously, Jesus is saying, unfortunately, I can't bring it. I don't have it right now because it's going to take for me to die through this baptism of death before this Holy Spirit can be released to each and every one of you. And this whole thing about Jesus bringing fire to earth reminded me of this movie Independence Day years ago, where these aliens were taking over the earth and blowing up the White House and all this other kind of stuff. And the alien was using another human to communicate to the president about what they wanted. And the president was trying to, and this is already after they had already killed like billions of people across the earth. And the president was trying to negotiate and trying to make friends with the aliens and, you know, trying to ask them, you know, is there a way to have peace among each other? And the alien responded, no peace. And then the president asked the alien, well, what is it that you want us to do? And the alien responds, die. And I almost feel like this is kind of what Jesus is saying here. Like, I come to bring this fire on the earth that's going to cause this division. There's not going to be this peace. And what I want you to do, I want you to die. I want you to die with me in this fire so that we can have new life. And also keep in mind that earlier in Luke, Jesus is talking about all kind of warnings and all kind of hardcore stuff about making decisions to follow Jesus, being part of the kingdom, and consequences if you don't. And so this is a pretty deep chapter here. And it makes me think also, well, what do we have to do to see this new life? What do we have to die to in order for this new life to come about? And what do we have to do as individuals? What do we have to do as communities? And what do we have to do as a nation to let these things burn so we can see justice and God's will reign on earth? But let's talk a little bit more about fire and some attributes about fire. So first of all, that fire needs something to start it, and it needs fuel. And for us, the start is deciding to be an active part of building God's kingdom, which is a choice. It's a gift. Faith is a gift from God, but we do choose whether or not we want to be part of God's kingdom or not. And that's where that fire gets kindled. And then once you get that fire kindled, it needs some fuel. And fuel can come in many different forms. And you got to ask the question, what do we have to burn? We know fire, you know, use firewood to burn the fire to keep it going. What's our firewood? You know, is it time? Is it money? Is it this need to let go of being right? Is it cutting certain people off and adding other people in our life? Is it a matter of our safety and security? You know, one of the things I think about with my participation in the Christian Community Development Association, CCDA, is how many people who decided to give their lives by serving those who were less fortunate and low income had part of that decision was living among people they were serving in part so that they can actually, at least to some degree, experience what it's like to live in the communities that are in such high need. And like I remember Coach from Lawndale, who came from Iowa to start all the ministries there, and how the first 2 years he lived in the community, his house was robbed like 8 times. And so he sacrificed his safety and security so that he can die to some things and so that new life can be born, which if you know anything about the story of Lawndale, lots of new life was born through his sacrifice. Something else about fire that it keeps those around us warm and alive. You know, recognize that igniting, maintaining, and building your fire is not just for you. You know, it kind of reminds me of those shows like Naked and Afraid or Alone, where getting a fire started and going makes all the difference in their ability to survive. This world and the people around us need us to ignite and keep our fires going in that same way, because that's what keeps other people going and keeps other people alive and allow them to survive and thrive. Another thing about fire, most effective fires are controlled burns. Otherwise, a fire can cause more harm than good. And like to say, is basically don't be an OC Christian. And OC stands for out of control. I'll never forget this story in the book called More Ready Than You Realize. It was a kind of a book about evangelizing people and some of the stories that go along with that. And this one story was how this young man had been going to this pastor's church who wrote the book and was going for weeks, but he never officially decided to become a Christian. And so finally he had a meeting with this young man and said, you know, I see you coming to church and seem like you're really, you know, interested and into what we're doing here. Just curious as to, you know, why you decided not to commit to, you know, becoming a Christian yet. And so the young man says to the pastor, he says, you know, I have a cousin and he was a really cool, great guy and really loved hanging around with him and so on and so forth. But then one day he decided to become a Christian and he just became the biggest jerk ever. And so I don't want to become a jerk by becoming a Christian. And sometimes when we do not handle our fires the right way, we're like those over the top, out of control Christians. And we don't want to go down that path. You know, as Ron pointed out, God's creation can be both incredibly beautiful and incredibly destructive. You know, and God has to deal with all of it. So we can help God out by not being one of those OC Christians. Another thing about fire is that the benefits of fire are not static or a one-time affair. You know, when I talked about Native Americans using fire, they use it in cycles, even to a point where they would use it seasonally, where at one point they're drawing wildlife to open prairies, and other points they drive them into the forest, depending on what was best for hunting and foresting. And then they even use fire to herd grasshoppers for certain areas for food. So even when a forest fire clears away the unnecessary shrubbery and it controls insect populations and make ways for new life, over time, that unnecessary stuff grows back again. And so in other words, to maintain the benefits of fire, we have to go through that burning process on a regular basis. You know, that's kind of why we do this whole church thing and studying the Bible and such. Another thing about fire is that if you do not go through the burning process, things will only get worse in the long run anyway. You know, when fire does not get rid of that unnecessary junk, whether it be, you know, earth-wise metaphorically in forest fires or in our lives philosophically, conditions will only worsen over time. And when we fail to die to what needs to die, our situation only worsens. So while that sacrifice that, you know, that we really need to put in now to die to ourselves so that new life can come forth may seem like too much, we need to realize that if we're not willing to do that, it's only going to get worse in the long run. So sacrificing now is better anyway. It's almost as if when you're buying a certain product or a new car where you may be up front, the cost may be higher, but in the long run, you're saving money. You know, and that's kind of how I see this. You know, and this has been evident in our history, racism in the United States for sure. We've seen what happens in our country when left unchecked and left without those willing to die so that we can see this new life, we witness decay and injustice. And so the ultimate fire is, of course, Jesus. Jesus knew that he had to die so that we may have life. And what's interesting is that it seems like Jesus was really much wanting to see this fire kindle right then and there. He didn't want to have to wait. I kind of reminded about Renee's teaching last week about how the heroes in Hebrews chapter 11 didn't get to see the fruits of their faith. And same way with Jesus, Jesus had to die to this baptism of death before the Holy Spirit can come in light the fire in each one of us. But however, both those heroes in Hebrews and Jesus were both able to see beyond the now and decided to sacrifice themselves for a future that they believed in. When I think about the work of reparations, I imagine that we would not necessarily see all the fruits of our work and our sacrifice, perhaps not even in our lifetime. But just like those Hebrews heroes and Jesus, we should die with the belief that our sacrifice will move God's kingdom along until Jesus returns. Now, on my way down to Mississippi, I took my mom down there to see my granddaughter for a second time. And my mom and I discussed this idea how we, you know, Jesus' return would be so wonderful because all this craziness that we experienced in the world will finally be over when Jesus returned. And while that's definitely the case, and there's an anticipation, a wonderful anticipation of Jesus' return that for once and for all can get rid of all the pain and all the injustice and all the suffering. The key for us right now, though, is to die to that fire so that we can be part of the solution, both here on earth in the short term and also with the eternal ramifications in the long term. You know, when we take communion, Jesus is asking us to be consumed by that fire, to die with him so that new life like my beautiful granddaughter, Maya Josephine, can benefit in the future. And who knows, maybe we will get to witness a bit of that new life for ourselves too.